When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It's time for your weekly fix of wrestling nostalgia when we look at wrestling's past eras from the Attitude Era to the Reality Era.
I'd like to think that maybe this company will be better after Vince McMahon's dead, but the fact is it's going to get taken over by his idiotic daughter and his doofus son-in-law and the rest of his stupid family.
To today. Here on the WWE Podcast.
Welcome to the WWE Podcast. On this Thanksgiving Thursday, November 28th, 2019. So yes, happy Thanksgiving to everybody, and hope that yours was enjoyable. And you got to watch some football and eat and relax and nurse your hangover or whatever you may be doing. Thank you so much for making this a small part of your day. And if you're going out for Black Friday, well, Godspeed. I mean, I have no jealousy whatsoever for those of you going out to brave the animals that are Black Friday. And I used to do that for many years. I used to be involved in those crowds, standing outside Best Buy like a fool, all that kind of stuff. And that has now all but evaporated. So best of luck to all of you out there that venture out and deal with all of the well-behaved, mannered, and civilized people that will run over each other, you know, for a $40 discount. But hey, I can't really throw too much at you guys that do go out, because again, I did that for years. So those in, what is it, the analogy is those in glass houses shouldn't throw rocks or something like that, right? But nonetheless, I hope everybody finds what they're looking for as this crazy holiday shopping experience begins for the 2019 version of Christmas, which, hey, it's generally and majoritively about Christmas. And I'm not saying that as, oh, Christmas is better. It's just what the season is built around. I mean, yes, there's other religious holidays, no question. But the reality is Christmas takes over. And not disrespecting other holidays, but that's just facts. The fact is the majority of people on this earth celebrate Christmas, particularly in the United States, celebrate Christmas over any other holiday that's coming up the next month. So you're going to see Christmas ads. You're going to see Santa. You're going to see, you know, or hear Christmas music, which, yeah, hey, it is what it is. And whether you like this season or not, it's here for the next 4 weeks. So, and along with the snow that's coming up here in northern New York or upstate New York, it's going to be a long, long winter up here. All right. Well, enough of that stuff, all that holiday and snow stuff that you may not want to listen to. What you're listening to now, what you want to listen to, is wrestling. And that's what this WWE podcast is all about. We're going to get to the wrestling nostalgia tonight, which is about Triple H and Undertaker, WrestleMania 28, rather. I know they faced each other at 27. WrestleMania 28. Undertaker, Triple H, Shawn Michaels as a special referee. We're going to get to that and some audio from that, of course, coming your way in just a couple of minutes. But first, I'd like to thank you for joining me on this Thanksgiving Eve. And as I follow my fantasy football team, that is, boy, I'm 6-6. I'm out of the playoffs unless an absolute miracle happens. So hopefully your fantasy teams, if you're in it, are in it to win it. Mine is not. And I'm also doing DraftKings and throwing money at that to make myself feel better, of which I'm losing at that as well. So I'm doubling down on my football and fantasy football depression on this Thanksgiving. But that's what I have wrestling for, because wrestling I can control. Wrestling is a pleasure of mine that I can always go back to. I have the WWE Network to lean on and to pull me out of the treadges of depression when I get into this fantasy football nonsense that pulls me in every single year. And I swear I'm not going to do it. And what do? Come August, get revved up for fantasy football. It's a sick cyclical activity. So, thank you guys for joining me. You can follow me everywhere that podcasts are available. You can download this everywhere podcasts are available and review anytime that you'd like. If you God hate this show more than anything, you can leave that review. You're more than welcome. I'd encourage you to leave a 5-star, but if you think I'm privileged or I'm obnoxious or whatever, that's what the reviews are for. I mean, like, I'm not encouraging you to do that, but that's what they're there for. But leave me a review if you feel inclined, and give me a subscribe also if you like the show, and you can get a ad-free experience over at patreon.com as well /WWE podcast. I've also recently got the WWE podcast website up and running again. It was down for a couple of days for a security flaw that WordPress found, and it effed up a whole bunch of stuff, but I was able to get a guy on it and fixed it, and hopefully things are working swimmingly on this Thanksgiving. So, all right, guys, enough. Let's get to it. Let's talk about it. Where were you? What is it? How many years ago now? WrestleMania 27? So that would be 9 years ago almost. Almost 9 years ago until I said it. I didn't really understand the magnitude of how long ago this match happened. And Triple H, Undertaker. Now, I'm prefacing this by saying, if you haven't seen the Broken Skull Sessions with Undertaker, obviously hosted by Stone Cold Steve Austin, you need to go watch that. You need to go watch it, because they actually cover a small part of it. They cover this match. They cover Undertaker returning at Judgment Day as the American Badass for the first time in 2000. There's a lot of really, really good stuff. And what's really intriguing about it is Undertaker doesn't do a whole lot of these things. It's very rare that Undertaker really pulls the curtain back after 30 years in being in WWE. 30 years. God almighty, that is just such a long time. After 3 decades of being in WWE, he does not pull the curtain back often. And when he does, we listen. And he's got a lifetime of information, and it's one of these stories, and one of the things he mentioned was about WrestleMania 28, and I'm not going to spoil everything for you about this. Of course, it's an hour and a half long, and I'd really encourage you go and watch it. But Undertaker talked about this match with Triple H and how he really looks at this match with Triple H and Shawn Michaels that preceded it as a 4-year program, because it started out at WrestleMania 25 with Shawn Michaels, probably in the best match of the entire series, and concluded at WrestleMania 28. And that WrestleMania 28 match, there were some moments in there, and if you remember and recall the match, in which you truly believe this could be the end of the streak. And it was intriguing. There's a lot of elements at play here. It was inside Hell in a Cell. And number one, I will say, this was a match that deserved Hell in a Cell. You know why? Two legends. Two guys that can still go. WrestleMania. they had a match at WrestleMania 27 in which Triple H tapped to the Hell's Gate, where with Triple H holding the sledgehammer in his hands and passed out and tapped out. That's how you build it. That is what is deserving of Hell in a Cell. That's when Hell in a Cell carries value. That's when Hell in a Cell adds to a match. You see what I'm going here? When Hell in a Cell is not built into the schedule just because it's a scheduled event, that should never, never be a scheduled event. And this is when it means the most. It's personal. It's vicious. It's two legends on the biggest stage. And not only that, with Hell in a Cell, you had Shawn Michaels as the special guest referee. And don't forget, Shawn had been retired for 2 years at this point, and you were wondering, where would Shawn Michaels' loyalties lie? And thinking the whole time, hey, Shawn Michaels was retired by Undertaker.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Is there bitterness there? Would Shawn Michaels blatantly side with his best friend in the match and show bias? Would Shawn Michaels get physically involved? We all know he would. It's effing WrestleMania, right? It's just a matter of how. So, I was wondering during that whole match, could Shawn Michaels be the reason that The Undertaker's streak is broken and pay him back for ending his career? Again, the Shawn Michaels element was extremely intriguing. And Hell in a Cell, you upped the ante twice by doing this. And it ended up being one of the best matches I've seen in terms of drama, in terms of pacing. And Undertaker said at Broken Skull, on the Broken Skull Sessions inaugural show, that he knew and Triple H knew that they could not perform at the level that Shawn Michaels did. And they should not, I mean, they shouldn't try to copy what Shawn Michaels and Undertaker did. These are two different styles now. Triple H is not Shawn Michaels. Nobody is Shawn Michaels. Nobody. So you shouldn't try to copy a master. You need to go out there and perform to your strengths and what you do best. And that is a slower pace, methodical. And it's interesting, before I get to some of the audio, which is one of my favorite false finishes of all time, it still gets me. I still question this, you know, 8 years, 9 years later, because I just... It made me believe so much that this could be the end of the Undertaker's streak, and I'll get to it in just a second. But I wanted to quickly touch on the fact that you could have really good matches, you could get over without having really good matches. Today's style, and I've said this before, but this is a case in point, drop the mic, argument ender. Is you can get over by not doing the same five-star expectations that all the performers have on themselves every single night. There is a way to get over without having to do all of these things that the wrestlers today feel they have to do. And it feels like, as awesomely athletic and gifted and talented and all of that, that all these guys and gals are today, particularly the men, it all feels like they were cut from the same cloth and told by the same person to perform the same way and do these suicide dives and 450 splashes. That's how you get over. You put on great matches. That's not the only way to get over. It's just an overwhelming, it's an overwhelming theme and strategy that's being used by stars today. And again, this may be your cup of tea. It may be your something you like that brought you back to wrestling is this style that's gone ultra athletic. That's where it's evolved to in 2019. And that's fine. It's just, I appreciate it. I like it in small doses. And I definitely couldn't do it. And I'm not putting the guys and gals down who can do it. My point is, it is oversaturated with it in wrestling today. Oversaturated. Especially in WWE. Especially in NXT. And it's a great product. Don't get me wrong. People love the athleticism. And I would, you know, I'm awed by what they can do too. And it makes me react. But does it get me to feel something for the competitor? Other than, wow, this guy's really gifted. Cool dude. Does it get me to feel the character on a gut level? Does it get me to emotionally invest in the character? The answer, more often than not, is a resounding no. It's a very superficial yet flashy way to get over in 2019. If you want to call it that, getting over by doing all of these crazy athletic. Again, you guys think I'm trashing this. I'm not. It's just, to me, coming from an era where these matches did not exist and you were in an era where it was the stars and their personalities and the storylines that carried guys and gals getting over, rather than just the athleticism being the primary driving factor for guys getting over. That is the lens in which I'm looking at this through. That's the trouble I'm having in 2019 of feeling anything gut level for the majority of guys and gals. When I say guys, I mean both. So those of you that think I'm just talking about the guys, I'm talking about everybody on the roster. So I'll say guys from now on. But you know what I mean. I mean both. That's why I'm looking at this through the lens of a fan that's watched for since 97 and gone through the golden age of the Attitude Era, the Ruthless Aggression Era, the PG Era, the Punk Era, whatever, I don't know, however you want to label the last 22 years. And seeing this evolve into this fast-paced, flopping around, super athletic, no selling, hit me, hit me, hit me. What's next, reversal, 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 kick out of finishers, kick, kick, kick out, kick out, kick out, kick out of finishers. And to have this, sometimes it ends up in a damn roll-up after all that. It's just oversaturated. That is probably the best term that I can use to describe the 2019 version of pro wrestling. It's an oversaturation of using athleticism as the primary factor for getting guys over, and it's not working with me on a gut level. It doesn't make me want to stop watching. I don't hate it. It's just superficial. It's very thin. And it's also taking away, I think, from the product when you have these people no selling half their match. The art of selling is gone. You may have guys register. You may have guys and gals, you know, get a reaction. You may have a little bit of pain showing on their face, but the selling, the true selling, is gone, and that is the bread and butter. That is the lifeblood of pro wrestling. You want to feel emotion. You need to slow down, so I can see what's going on. And it's my method. And Undertaker, who also concurs with this in his interview with Stone Cold, that less is oftentimes more. It's more often than not that less is more. And that's so damn true, because I've equated this to a fireworks display. That's what I think of when I think of 2019 wrestling. It's fun to look at. It's a lot of bangs. It's pretty. But it's always about, what's the next firework? What's the next firework? I want to see the next firework. Is the next one bigger? Is the next one better? I can't wait to see the finale. It's going to go bing, bang, boom, bing, bang, boom. That is the way that 2019 wrestling is. It's pretty. There's a lot of bangs. It's quick. And the finale is usually pretty loud, pretty fast, and sudden. And that is what 2019 wrestling is. And if that's your style, cool. It's not my thing with so many guys using this method coming up through NXT and doing this on the main roster. Ricochet is a number one. Ricochet is the embodiment of that style of wrestling. It's just used too much. Seth Rollins, I don't need to see suicide dives from everyone. I just don't. Everybody does suicide dives. Everybody does super kicks. Why? A super kick should end a match. Michaels did it. HBK did it for his entire career. And suddenly it's a transition move now. All right. Well, I've gotten way off topic. But so let's get back to this match. I wanted to preface that and get on my little bit of a mini rant on that. Because when you look at this match with Undertaker, I would rank this as a 4.5-star match. And we didn't have the insanely paced, ultra-athletic, flying through the air like you're defying gravity type of style. And yet they were able to tell a story in a slow, methodical, intelligent way without having to utilize that. So I just wanted to point that out as we move along here. So what I want to do now, guys, is share with you a piece of audio that is stuck in my brain forever.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is in my brain until the day that I die. Of the day I was there when the streak almost, and probably came as close to ending before it actually ended at WrestleMania 30, that I've ever seen. And so this is, well, you know what, rather than me telling you, why don't you just take a listen to the fall that almost was.
20 feet of carnage. The game makes his way up. Oh, no. And slips it.
Shawn Michaels had been calling this matchup down the middle. He was going to
2012. He will not die.
So that was the fall that almost was that got me out of my seat. I remember sitting there and going, oh my, like, how can anyone kick out of a Sweet Chin Music that gets rolled into a pedigree? I mean, you just don't, especially three quarters of the way through the match. And Undertaker did. And I remember just going, oh my God, the streak is over. I mean, that is out of all the matches that Undertaker has had prior to that, Triple H the year before. Michaels at 26, I never believed Undertaker would win, but 25 got me believing a little bit, and I've covered that match here too in one of the best matches at WrestleMania I've ever seen in my entire life. They had me believing in that one, but you know, he's faced Randy Orton. Undertaker's faced Triple H at WrestleMania before. I think it was WrestleMania 18 that they faced each other, and you know, I never believed it then. And so Undertaker has had a lot of WrestleMania opponents. CM Punk, I mean, you go down the list. This fall had me believing more than any other fall that they've ever done in the history of trying to tease the streak being over. Again, prior to WrestleMania 30, right? So this match was very good. I enjoyed the physicality, the pacing. It went over 20 minutes. It was the end of an era match. And of course, having Jim Ross be there to make the call was just also just up the ante as well. The voice of Jim Ross, which can now be heard on AEW, always adds to the match. He's just so iconic in his pipes that he could call an arm wrestling match and he would make it sound like it's the bottom of the ninth of the World Series. He just has that innate ability to do that. And so I enjoy his work, of course, and well, let's just get to the end of the match and then the aftermath of it.
Regain his vertical balance.
Yeah, he's pulling himself right into a more precarious position. Look at this.
Oh, God, we know what that means.
Yes, we do.
The signified. The sign. Oh, what a disaster. An abhorrent. John's going to count.
The Undertaker is 20-0 at WrestleMania. Look at the Undertaker's back. He's just fighting to get back up.
So that was the end of the era. That was truly the end of an era. And all three men would go on to go up the ramp together and, you know, hold each other and have that moment at the top of the ramp where they all just kind of, you know, arm in arm, look out at the sea of humanity at WrestleMania here. And during that moment, I was thinking that had to have been planned. But Undertaker went on to talk about on the Broken Skull Sessions that indeed was an organic moment, that was indeed not something they planned to do. So that made it that much cooler, if you will, to see that happen, that those three guys who have gone to war together in the last 4 years have been intermingled in a program. Michaels retired 2 years earlier. Undertaker went to admit that after that match, and he was standing on the ramp, he didn't know if he'd be back the following year. He actually really considered retirement. And that about an hour after that match, he went into severe pain. And amazingly, friggin' 9 years later, or 8 years later, rather, he is still doing this damn thing. Undertaker is a machine. And I think if I was going to point to a WrestleMania that indeed would be his last, WrestleMania 37. the reason I say it, not at this year's WrestleMania. I don't even know if he'll be at this year's WrestleMania. And we've all been predicting Undertaker's doom and gloom and retirement for the last 15 years, myself included. But I would say that WWE and Undertaker would love to get to that round 30 number. Where did they get that round 30 number? In 11 months, at next year's Survivor Series, at Survivor Series 2020, where The Undertaker would have debuted exactly 30 years earlier. And I could see them bringing in Brother Love and doing some kind of, tribute to that moment when he debuted as The Undertaker. And maybe even bringing back Ted DiBiase, who originally announced Undertaker in the match at Survivor Series 1990. So I think they're going to get to around 30. So if Undertaker has to skip this year's WrestleMania in order to heal his body for, you know, the next 8 months, 12 months to get himself together for a match at Survivor Series to then lead to a program at WrestleMania 37, which is to me where The Undertaker should lay to rest. Could he end at Survivor Series in 2020? Sure. But I think the only stage in which The Undertaker can truly call it quits, and again, this is me as a fan speaking as one lonely fan. Obviously, Mark Calloway has the final say on where he wants to hang up the boots. But to me, WrestleMania should be the final resting place for the dead man. It's where his streak died. It's where he had the longest streak in pro wrestling history come to an end and happen. He went 21-0 before infamously losing to Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania 30. So to me, Undertaker should, you know, have a match at Survivor Series or have a commemorative appearance per se. And having that, whatever that happens at next year's Survivor Series, somebody interrupting, attacking, lead to a program 4 months later at WrestleMania 37. That's how I would book it. Call it a career for The Undertaker and ride off into the sunset. But I know, you know, they're going to want to get to that nice round number of 30. And who wouldn't? What guy has gone 30 years? 30 years. In this business consistently. Yes, Undertaker has taken a year off here and there. He's taken months off at a time to extend his quote active career. But every year when WrestleMania comes around, what do you think of? We will forever think of Undertaker. He is synonymous with WrestleMania, with the brand, and will forever be. So that's how I would book it in our fantasy land of fans, fan booking. But that's how I would do it. And I don't know if that's how that happened. Maybe he'll call it a day and maybe he'll call it quits at WrestleMania this year. Or maybe he'll just call it quits and not have another match. You don't know. But to me, I don't know how WWE doesn't capitalize on one of their most popular superstars, longest running stars of all time by not giving everybody a heads up and really milking the retirement tour of The Undertaker as long as possible, unless that's not what Mark wants. Maybe Mark doesn't want that. Maybe he doesn't want to have a retirement tour and just go off on his own merit or go off on an unannounced retirement match a la Stone Cold Steve Austin in 2003, Seattle, Washington at WrestleMania 19 against The Rock, where nobody knew it was his last match except for Jim Ross himself and probably Vince McMahon. So maybe Undertaker does that. I would say, given the fact that Mark Calloway is a very unselfish human being, especially when it comes to the business, that he would want to allow WWE to get as much as they can out of him on his final tour, his final run, his encore run. And to have him do that, he would have to give the office a heads up on, hey, next year's WrestleMania is it.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
I'd like to do a long-running program with whoever it may be. I want them to be the one to end it. And I see Undertaker probably losing his final match. That's a very old-school way. Undertaker's very old-school. Whenever you leave a territory, you know, back in the territory days when there were such things, when you left, you would lose on your way out to do the favors for the guys that would still be there. Makes sense. So I think Undertaker in that way is also about building the next generation, about building new stars, giving back to the business. What better way to do it than to have him go out against a up-and-coming heel who gets a victory over The Undertaker and can claim forever that they retired The Undertaker, or that they, again, this is unless he already, if The Undertaker pre-announces that this is going to be his last match, win, lose, or draw, that would be different. To me, I would say if I were The Undertaker, when I lose my next match, that's it. That way the heel can claim that they retired The Undertaker instead of just saying, I beat him in his already retirement match. See the difference? The difference is the heel can claim they did it, whereas if it was already pre-announced by Taker that this would be his final match, then you could say, oh, well, he was going to leave anyway, even if he won, right? So that would be how I would do it, how I would book it, building the next hot heel and having them claim, and they could claim to fame for that for the rest of their lives, and it would be true heat, and it would be awesome, and that's how I would go out. So I would not book and put money on Undertaker winning his last match, again, if we know it's his last match. So, and it, by the way, and many of you have asked me, well, what do you think about him being a general manager? No, I don't need Undertaker ruining 30 years of his career in terms of protecting character by going on air on Raw as a general manager of any sort. He should just be, you know, I would say a backstage role. He would be a great trainer at the Performance Center. I don't see him ever being an on air role outside of his Taker character. To me, that would completely undermine 30 years. Not erase them, but it would be like, come on. You know, I know Undertaker does a lot of very few podcasts, if any, very few appearances that where he's just Mark. It's very few and far between. So I don't see him being on a regular basis, annual or a weekly basis, coming out there and just trashing and undermining his own character by just, you know, being a general manager of sorts. So I don't want that. I don't see it. I don't have any interest in it. But anyway, guys, you have to check out the Broken Skull Sessions on WWE Network. It is intriguing. It's real. They start doing shots of liquor in the middle of it. A funny drunk story with Undertaker and X-Pac and on a tour he did overseas. There's some good stuff in there. And I still didn't get through all of it. I was just watching it for an hour before I came on here, and I said, damn. That's a good wrestling nostalgia. Go back to WrestleMania 28 with him and Triple H at Hell in a Cell, the end of an era match. It was, again, I love that match. Let me know what you guys think, though. Interested in what your thoughts are on that match and, you know, really the whole program that Taker had with Shawn and Triple H through those 4 years of WrestleMania 25 to WrestleMania 28. What did you guys think about those? What was your favorite? Tweet me at the WWE podcast, and I'm very interested to hear your thoughts and opinions on that, because I mean, mine is still probably WrestleMania 25, followed very closely by WrestleMania 28, then WrestleMania 27, then WrestleMania 26 with Shawn's final match, which, again, how can you have a match follow the one that they did at WrestleMania 25? You can't. And it was Matt Stryker on commentary versus Jim Ross. Yeah, that was a big step down as well. So that's what I think. Oh, so before I head out, guys, there's a lot of talk about CM Punk coming back, a lot of rumors. And do I see CM Punk? Many of you have asked, do I see CM Punk coming back in a wrestling capacity before WrestleMania? I would say, very unconfidently, the answer would probably, when I say wrestling capacity, if you're talking about a match, I would say no. I would say no, probably not. I could see him coming back at WrestleMania to deliver a GTS to somebody or just walk out and say, I'm back, or some really quick, slick, witted thing that Punk would come up with and drop the mic and stand there and or just walk out, and the crowd would lose their freaking minds. So would I think an actual match is going to happen? Probably not. Punk is good at delivering mixed messages, and he knows he's doing that on purpose to get people talking, and then he does something that makes you think he's coming back, and then, you know, goes in an interview and says, I'm done with wrestling. He is a master of the mind games, and he is controlling the narrative of the wrestling universe of us podcasters and websites and all these people that think they know what he's going to do and he doesn't, or does the opposite, or just continues to play games. So based on his track record, I would still say no. However, in the event that he does come back, I would have him face Seth Rollins. I would have him face Seth Rollins for a number of reasons. Number one, I think it would be a good match. I think that they would gel well together. I would also put them together because Seth is a freshly turned heel. And the fans never really truly accepted Seth Rollins as their babyface. As a like, hey, the working man, you know, we can relate to you, that kind of guy. Never quite got there. He was always a heel to the core, and I love Seth Rollins as a heel, so I'm fine with him as a heel. Punk coming back would be the ultimate babyface. Instantly, the hottest babyface in WWE. Immediately. They've also had a Twitter war. You know, as childish as that may sound, in 2019. There is a little bit of a history on Twitter, right? They could draw off that. And Punk called him out, Seth called him out on Monday night, to Vince McMahon's dismay. He called him out and said he wanted to be here, but he's too busy hiding behind Twitter and talking about change rather than coming here and actually doing something about it, or something like that. So there is something here. If I was going to put money on it, do I see Punk returning for an actual match before WrestleMania? I would say the answer is no, but I don't say that with a whole lot of confidence. I don't say that with a whole lot of bravado or swag. I say that very timidly because there's so many signs that point to, well, he could, you know, he might. I could see it, you know. So I would not put money on anything at this point, but I would say that I would say confidently this: CM Punk will be back in a WWE ring at some point. Probably in the next year. That's my guess. Probably in the next year, he'll be back in a WWE ring and have a match. Not back full time. Back for a match or two. And do what he wants and leave when he wants and come back when he wants. That's what he's deserved. That's what he can do at this point in his career. He doesn't need to go on full time. He's not doing house shows. Let's be real. Nor should he. Nor would I want him to. I need Punk to feel special. I need Punk to feel like a big deal. I don't need Punk showing up at, South Dakota house show. I need him being there when it matters, and being there because he wants to be, and being there when he's happy, and being there when there's a meaning and value for it, not just being there because, I'm back in WWE, so this is just what I do. No, that's what made Punk miserable in the first place. Taking the love out of wrestling from him. WWE took that away from him. So, no, those are my thoughts. I hope you guys enjoyed this wrestling nostalgia. It was an interesting show because I was a little bit back and forth on what I was going to talk about. I was originally, believe it or not, I was going to talk about some of the just awfulness that has been the wrestling Thanksgiving-themed shows in the last, 15 years. But I didn't want to make this whole ranting negative show. But I will say this before I head out. It's Thursday night. You are probably not listening to this on Thursday night because it's pretty late in the evening as I'm recording this. But I will say, if you're listening to this before Friday, that it is very likely that WWE does some silly, nonsensical crap around Thanksgiving. And if they do a food fight, be prepared for a pretty heavy rant come Saturday or Sunday. I'm probably doing a show on Sunday. My schedule's all screwed up with the Thanksgiving, with Thanksgiving this week. But be prepared for a bit of a rant come this weekend. Because WWE just cannot, Vince McMahon cannot get away from the food fights that just continue to plague WWE. Look at 4th of July. Look at any Thanksgiving show. They do these nonsensical garbage segments that are not funny, that are less than high school in terms of comedy intelligence level. And they're not anything but taking away from the product. They don't do anything other than make you eye roll and go, this is why people don't watch wrestling. This is why my friends make fun of wrestling. This is why we get crap for being wrestling, a wrestling fan. This stuff. And that's, I will almost guarantee it that Friday there will be some awful Thanksgiving theme segment. It may be a food fight. It could be just some kind of gravy bowl match, although they've gone away from that as the women have evolved into actual human beings and treated like competitors. So that's probably out. But I don't need the New Day dressing up like pilgrims. They did that last year and had a food fight with the bar. You remember that? I don't need that crap involved in my match. And the New Day are perfect candidates as they think that the New Day has a demographic of, you know, ages 3 to 6. I don't need that stuff. I don't want it. It's not funny. It doesn't entertain me. I don't need to see it on my screen as a wrestling fan. It just, I don't know who they think they're serving or catering to with that kind of stuff. I really don't. I'd love to ask the person that approves this, meaning Vince McMahon would be standing in front of me, and ask the guy, when you put this on TV, who do you think, what's the exact, I want details, Vince. What's the exact demographic that you're trying to hit here? I want age. I want gender. I want to know who and what are you targeting?
Oh, well, we target all audiences. It's, you know, a little bit of everything for everyone.
Well, I understand. Yeah, well, I get that you're serving a bunch of masters here, but this specifically, Vince, with the food fights and the terrible people dressing up as pilgrims, what exactly, like, who is this that you think is laughing at this and finding this funny? Is the demographic a single person named Vince McMahon? And I would say yes. But anyway, so look out for that. I would be ill-advised if I didn't think that is probably going to be a segment somewhere slid into the Friday Night SmackDown genre or agenda. So I'm very, very weary of that. But anyway, beyond that, guys, I want to thank you for listening today and tonight and or wherever, whenever day and time you're listening to this. And I hope everyone had a great Thanksgiving. And there is still some shows coming to you this week. The AEW show is being dropped probably at the same time this one is, as well as the Sunday show. That is the review show for the week. And my co-host will be joining me. So more shows coming your way this week before we close out the month of November and roll into December. And believe it or not, December. Yes. So, all right, guys. Well, thanks so much for listening. As always, I'll talk to you next time.